And on the line now, I have Karen Murphy from the Irish Council for Social Housing. Good morning, Karen.
Thanks for having me on.
No, you're more than welcome. We're going to talk about the Housing Association Activity Report 2018, which was launched this morning, I believe.
It was indeed. We launched it there this morning, and it's a report on the number of homes and the type of delivery that was provided by housing associations last year in 2018. So I suppose the first thing is we're delighted with the output of the housing association sector last year, as 38% of all new long-term social housing provided, and that was equivalent to just over 3,200 new homes going to people in need of social housing throughout Ireland. So I suppose that's the first thing. I mean, obviously we're aware that any delivery is, you know, you could match it and double it and triple it and you'd still need more. So we're very aware that while our output is growing, we want to try and ensure that we can keep that momentum and really try to deliver more and more homes, because we all know how difficult the situation is out there for people at all different levels and areas of the housing system. So there's a number of things that we're sort of trying to improve, if you like, as part of our launch this morning. But I suppose the figures themselves do demonstrate that housing associations are increasing their activity, and it's going in the right direction, but still a lot of need out there, John.
Yeah, and I'm reading it as a lot of still too many obstacles to delivering the social and affordable housing. And I do a lot of conversations about social housing and homelessness and stuff like that. And the question always comes up as to why our councils aren't building houses like they did in the past.
I suppose the system changed a lot in the last 10 years, like with the crash. One of the first programmes to be cut were the capital programmes, the building programmes. And it was across the board, across housing associations and local authorities. So for, I suppose, a good number of years from 2009 on, like, there was virtually no budget or allowance there to go and assemble land, apply for planning, put together designs. Like, there was just virtually no funding whatsoever. In the last few years, I suppose housing associations have tried to respond to the crisis through bringing in loan finance, so instead of looking for 100% funding up front to build a project, housing associations would draw down up to about 30% from the state, and then the rest is got through loan finance, which is spread out over 25, 30 years. So I think that's been the approach of housing associations over the last few years, to try and build up the stock and to try and build up the pipeline. But, you know, it is a significant problem that we're coming from a very, very low base, while the demand has run ahead, really, of what we've been able to produce. Another obstacle that we're particularly concerned about is land and the availability of sites, because while we have, over 3,000 homes delivered last year, we need to be doing that year on year and maybe even more. But to do that, we need to have access to land. So I suppose it's one area that we're particularly concerned about, because in a pipeline, you need significant numbers to be able to deliver year on year. You know, you can't kind of rest on your laurels. You always have to have sort of several kinds of lines of activity, whether it be through new construction, regenerating older schemes and bringing them back up to scratch and having them fully tenanted, or delivering through joint ventures with the private sector and developers. So, while we're working across all those different ways of building and getting new homes into the sector, access to land is one that we're particularly keen to get a bit of, I suppose, traction on from the government. The Land Development Agency was set up last year, and it has begun, but it hasn't been set up on a kind of on a statutory basis. And we're calling for that to happen urgently, so that they can really get to work on assembling sites and ensuring that there's a pipeline there that we can be building on now for the homes that will be delivered in 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, and it has been proven that you can supply affordable housing. I mean, the O'Coolan Housing Organisation have done it, and they've done it through getting land off the councils fairly cheap.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, that's a really good example. And we've a lovely scheme there opening up, or it's just opened up, the Fold scheme in Conlogie Road. Will be familiar to, say, a lot of people around the area. That it, again, it's an old site that you can do a lot. Once you have the land or the site, you can develop quite well. New designs, new homes really that are much easier to run, better suited to people's needs. The energy efficiency is there. They're not living in cold homes that were poorly insulated, built 50, 60 years ago. And as you say, the affordable housing, like, this is an area that we think more could be done in. I suppose there's a plan there for social housing delivery, and nobody's happy with the amount of delivery. We want to keep doing more. But in terms of affordable housing and people who are just above the income limits for social housing but not earning enough to be able to go in and pay the kinds of rents or prices that they're looking for now, you know, there's definitely a large group of people there that are being caught in the middle. And we think housing associations should be able to provide affordable rental accommodation. So, you know, it's something that people can afford to pay, but not at the market levels that we're seeing, which are really just kind of runaway at the moment. You know, how people can afford to pay 2,500 a month, 3,000 a month out of their incomes for two-bedroom, three-bedroom homes. Like, it's just not credible. So we think there's definitely an area there for the affordable rental model that we're lobbying or agitating to have more done for that area, that kind of income level.
Yes. Now, home ownership, particularly in Ireland, was also the big thing. This was everybody's ambition to own their own home. Do you think that's in decline now, that people are heading towards renting rather than home ownership?
There definitely has been a shift. I mean, if you look at the census statistics, come back over 10 or 15 years, like, home ownership has declined. Like, it was very much over the 80% dominant tenure for many, many years. But now we're seeing it go under 70% in the last census. And, like, that's a significant shift over a short period of time. So there's definitely a change underway since the sort of the middle years of the boom, when more and more apartments were being built and more people were renting, the population's increasing. So we're definitely seeing a shift towards rental. But at the same time, I think we're playing catch-up in terms of it being seen as a secure form of providing yourself with accommodation. So, you know, while people understand if you buy your own home or you invest in a mortgage, you know, that you have security. And that's kind of key, really, to knowing that you can stay there long term. I think that's been an issue with the private rental sector for many years, is that people didn't feel like it was a secure form of tenure, that, you know, your landlord decides to sell or rent it out to his nephew and then you're out. So, you know, I think we have a long way to go in terms of if this model is shifting, if we are moving away from home ownership, then we need to make sure that people feel the same level of security in a rental home as they do in a purchase home. There should be no difference. If you choose to rent or buy, that should still be your home, and your primary concerns shouldn't be that your landlord is going to decide to sell up and move on. And added to that, then, I think we need to see a fairer rent policy, because at the moment, again, there's very little really that can be done to keep rents within an affordable framework. And I think that's what people worry about when they see this shift or this kind of decline of home ownership, that, you know, the alternative really isn't very secure and it's very expensive. Whereas, you know, I think if we did have better security for people in the private rented sector, and a fair model that, that people pay rent at an affordable rate, you know, I think people would feel a lot more secure in that form of accommodation. Because certainly from social housing point of view, like, the rents within social housing are very much tailored to the person's income. So if you're allocated a house, you're on the Dublin City Council waiting list and you're allocated a home, it's very clear to you what your rent will be. And if your income goes up or your income goes down, you know from day one, you know, that it'll always remain kind of affordable or within a certain limit. Whereas if you're in the private rented sector, I think you never have that feeling of security that you can plan ahead and that you know what your rents are, you know, they're always going to be within a certain limit. So, you know, I think we'd like to see what's been done on the social housing side, where people's, you know, you're allocated a home, it's your home at the end of the day once you're kind of paying your rent and everything's going well. But, you know, I do think people who need affordable rental accommodation, they don't have that option open to them at the moment. And certainly the Irish Council for Social Housing and housing associations would like to see, you know, just a better, a fairer kind of housing spread, so that you're not pushed into either social housing or home ownership, you know, that there's something in the middle that's not going to kind of leave you living in from paycheck to paycheck, that you can plan ahead.
Yeah, it's a terrible situation. Do you think that there's a legislation needed to control the private rental market?
Well, there's a number of different ways that can be kind of improved. Like, at the moment, landlords, I suppose there's an option there that they can sell their property and move their tenants out in order to do that. Whereas I think it would be better all round if there wasn't that option available. So if, for example, if a landlord did want to sell, they can sell but the tenants left in situ, or tenants have first option on the purchase. So, you know, like, there's a long way for us to go in terms of creating a rental model that is as secure and offers people like a long-term option as, say, in other countries. And, you know, it's not that you want to copy what other areas are doing. It's just about looking at, these changes are happening here. So the home ownership is declining. It's still a relatively strong form of tenure, but it's changing. It's changing underneath us. So we do need to recognise that we have to have a strong protections in there for, if you see the home as something that should be protected, even in within the constitution, then we do need to strengthen the tenants' ability to stay in their home for as long as they want, so long as they're paying their rent and meeting their obligations as tenants. You know, I think you have to be fair to both sides. I do know that a lot has been done to strengthen the Residential Tenancies Board, who are the regulators for the private rented sector. There have been changes there in the last number of years. For example, before it was tenancies were on a 4-year cycle, now they're on a 6-year cycle. So, you know, they're kind of welcome moves, but I think we'd like to see it much more longer term than 6-year tenancy cycles. As anyone knows, if people want to put down roots, you know, a lot changes in 6 years, and you don't want to always be living under the threat that you're going to have to try and find a new home, and particularly in this market. So I would say there's definitely ways that we can improve the situation for people renting.
Okay, Karen, unfortunately we've ran out of time. Maybe you'll come back on and we'll have a longer conversation, because this one was a bit rushed.
No problem.
Yeah, no, I'd like to do that, because it is something that has to be out there. Is this report available for people to look at online? I know it was only released this morning, but...
Yeah, we've launched it this morning, and it's on our website, which is www.icsh.ie. And it's the Activity Report, Housing Association Activity Report for 2018. So there's a bit of detail in there around what housing associations have done and what we're doing, what's in the pipeline, and some of the kind of areas that we'd like to see addressed by government in order to improve the housing situation for everyone. So that's available on our website.
Okay, listen, Karen, thanks very much, and sorry about the rush, but you will come back on and talk to us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for taking the call. Thank you, Karen.
No problem. Thank you. Bye.